Well, good morning again, Remnant, and welcome to the LaPorte Church of Christ this Sunday morning, July 14th, 2024. We thank you for joining us. Always enjoy that circuit riding preacher song by Pastor Peters. Was very truthful in it. That's what he was. Well, let's start out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We pray for your blessings on this day. We thank you, Lord, for the time that we live in. We thank you for, Lord, the preparation that you have made in our lives to prepare us for this day. Lord, we thank you for the pastor that you brought into our lives, that you used to open our eyes to the truth of your word, and we thank you for that. Let us continue to be truth junkies, Lord, to desire, to search for the truth, to love, to have a love for the truth, Lord, and to continue to do our very best to serve you, to honor you, to share your truth of your gospel with those that are out there. Lord, I pray for the remnant, for those that have had their eyes opened, Lord. I pray your protection to be upon them, your strength, your provision to be upon them. We thank you for them. Lord, let us stand together, Father, physically, spiritually, to promote your word, Lord, to share your truth and your grace and mercy with others. Lord, to let others see that, Lord, there is but one way to save this nation, to save ourselves, and that is to turn to you, to repent and to be baptized and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and to do our best to live according to your word, Lord, according to your law, your perfect law. And we thank you for that. Father, we pray for those traveling. Brother Jason is traveling this weekend, Lord. We pray your angels to be about him, granting traveling mercies, and Lord, get him, let him do what he needs to do this weekend and get him home safe. We pray for those, Lord, down in Texas that are still, Lord, recovering from the storms and the hurricane and all that came with that, Lord. Strengthen them and keep them safe and secure, Lord. Help them to, as they recover. We pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And had a couple scriptures I wanted to share with you this morning. We've got a message for you from Brother Zach. We got it done just yesterday, so a current new message, and yesterday morning, and so we're looking forward to that. But had just a minute, I wanted to share a couple of scripture verses that were on my mind, especially in light of the recent events. And the first one is Psalms 27, just the first three verses. But you know, many times it occurs to me when things happen, as a father, as a husband, we tend to use those things as examples, right? It can be a good example of a good example, or maybe a good example of a bad example. But we try to use those things to help our children, our family, our friends, to maybe see, have their eyes open, to see a little bit of the word come to life. Because that is happening in our lifetime. It is happening in our lives right now. It is. Psalms 27. Let me read this. It's a psalm of David. David, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident." Shall be confident, or I am in confidence, the reference is there. And so, this is a truth. He is our light and our salvation, our protection, our refuge. And it's not just in the spiritual. It's not just for the eternal, but for now, today as well. Another scripture I want to share with you is 1 Samuel 23. And it's when Saul is pursuing David, just to set the tone here. Saul is pursuing David, and you're probably familiar with the time period and what's going on. And David is at the end. It does not look good. Let's see. verse 25, it says, and when Saul heard it, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Verse 26, Saul went on one side of the mountain and David and his men on the other side. And it says, and David was hurrying to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were surrounding David and his men to seize them. See, Saul outnumbered him. Saul was after him. And he had him. He had him right there. This was the end of David and his men. Verse 27. But a messenger came to Saul. And I pause there because I want to ask, what do you think David and his men were doing? You think that they were partying? You think they were just having a big old time? Knowing that Saul is right around on the other side of the mountain. And they're coming around both sides and they've got him surrounded. No, let me tell you what they were doing. They were praying. Oh, you don't read it here. But if you know David, who was the type of Christ, what did Christ do? What did Jesus do in his time of troubles when he was troubled? What did he do when he was here as in the flesh as a man? He prayed. He prayed. And I guarantee you, that's my thought anyway. That's what David was doing. It says, but then a messenger came to Saul, saying, hurry and come, for the Philistines have made a raid on the land. So Saul returned from pursuing David and went to meet the Philistines. Therefore they called that place the Rock of Escape. That's who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is, our Rock of Escape. And he showed himself in this, no, he didn't appear as a burning bush or there, but in this action. Here it is. Here's death and devastation coming around the mountain. Here she comes. And then it changed. And they call that place the Rock of Escape. Because David was saved. A bit of our history. I don't know if many of you know this about President Washington. I remember reading about it, learning about it as a wee little lad back in elementary school, but before he became president, in the French and Indian Wars, before the Revolution, it was said that he could not be killed. That was President George Washington, or he was just George Washington then. In the French and Indian Wars, in one of the battles, after the battle, there were 4 bullet holes in his coat, and he was unharmed. It said he had 2 horses shot out from underneath him. And yet, on he went. He got smallpox and survived smallpox. George Washington got malaria and survived malaria in the 1700s. He got tuberculosis and survived that. Dysentery. They said he had a couple of boils the size of fists. I mean, he had troubles, and he overcame them. And it was because I think God had a plan for him and for this country. And I think we've seen that. My thought anyway, no, you're not going to see it on the website, is the official position of Scriptures for America, or the official position of the LaPorte Church of Christ. But I'm giving you my opinion this morning. That we saw a Rock of Escape occur yesterday. We saw a divine intervention similar to George Washington going through battle with 4 bullet holes in his coat and him unharmed, and horses shot out from underneath him because God had a plan. You know, the Bible tells us that men have their plans and God laughs at them because his plan comes through. His plan is what happens. And we don't always understand what that is. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus Christ says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. So you have to understand that. So when you have stealing and killing and destroying, that is not of Christ. That is of the thief and his minions and those that do his will. But Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And so you see the huge contrast there. life and life abundantly. Well, you shall know them by their fruits. And we see that this is not just some spiritual in the here and after. This is for right now, that you can know people by their fruits. So again, when you have things like stealing and killing and destroying, if you have those in your life, guess what? They're not of Christ. If you see those in business, stealing, killing, and destroying, it's not of Christ. It's not Christian. So says the Word. But life and life abundant, that is. And when you have people that are promoting that, well, guess what? That is of Christ. It is. Just another minute here. Well, you know what? I better go ahead and wrap up. We do have Volume 7 of the newsletter. Got out in the mail this last week. I think people already have it. Some people already have it. So I hope that you have it. If you have not received Volume 7, if you don't have it in the mail, say by Monday, you let us know. Sometimes things get mixed up. Sometimes they get destroyed by the post office. But if you haven't got it by Monday, you let us know. We'll be glad to send you another one. Stay tuned for Brother Zach. And we'll be back right after that with communion and then Pastor's Timeless Pulpit Message. God bless.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, July 14th, 2024, we here at the La Porte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there. We're glad that you joined us this morning. And with that being said, we are going to define who Jesus Christ is and who God is. And that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing has come into being that has come into being. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the definition of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Word that became flesh. And that being said, with that definition, you need to know the Old Testament, understand it, understand the laws, understand the history, understand who Israel is and what happened to Israel and who they became. And that's all explained in the Old Testament. And then you can begin to know who Jesus Christ is. And then when you read about the divorce and the promise of the new covenant, and then when you get into the New Testament and in the Gospels, things make a little bit different sense than what you've been taught. And that is our job here at Scriptures for America, is to shine the light on the Word of God and project it as accurately as we know how to. So last week we did a lesson on Public Law 97-280. I thought it was pretty good. I didn't really get into any of my scriptures. But I'm not going to do that this week because I'm technically supposed to be off this week because I'm on duty. So we might have a really short lesson. I don't know. So I'm kind of winging it. But as I was getting ready this morning for the lesson, you know, I thought, well, that what we did last week was, I really liked it because our federal government is telling us if we want to strengthen ourselves as an individual, as a family, and as a community, and all the way up to a nation, our federal government instructs us to study the Word of God. You know, in 1983, the Bible was declared the Word of God by our federal government, by the Congress and the Senate and the executive branch, which is the presidential branch, by Ronald Reagan. They made that law. So when, you know, what it says is it gives the people the choice of whether we want to be strong or not, whether we want to be a country that is approved by the Lord, by Jesus, by God Almighty. And how do we do that? Is we study, as it says in Timothy, study to show yourself approved. And that doesn't just mean, now admittedly, you know, I don't study as much as I should. I took a long time, you know, it's been pretty near 20 years now, but I went and I studied that Bible pretty thoroughly. And then I ran across this ministry, and I had a couple of the teachers there, E. Raymond Capp, Pastor Peters, and Colonel Moore. I mean, you sit there and you listen to those guys, and they have a very good ability to rough you up mentally because they know their word, or they knew their word, I should say. All those guys I just mentioned are dead. And when you got into the mental ring with those dudes, you know, you weren't going to win because they understood that the word doesn't need any help. It doesn't need any explanation. It is what it is. And it was their job, and it's now our job today to project it accurately and define it accurately. And when you boil everything down, our nation is in the state that it's in because of the choices the individuals make. And everybody's decision affects the person to the right and the left, in front and behind of you. Whether you want to believe it or not, it's true. Because when there's sin in the land, and we've talked about this before, you are polluting the ground, and the ground wants to reject the inhabitants of it. So another way of looking at it is when you sin, and I sin, and a whole nation sin, we are setting up the future generation for a difficult time. For two reasons. One, God has to respond accordingly. Two, if you don't teach them the ways of our Lord, then how will they know how to get out of the jam that they're in, that we put them in? So not only did we put them, the generations to come, in a bad position because of our decisions, we put them even in a worse position, so that way, when they're up to bat, their lack of knowledge will set their offspring off in even a worse position. This is why it's very important to know these things that we go over and over and over and over and over again. You know, I heard it said the other day, guy was talking about his product and like his, you know, like what he does. And, you know, every time I see him on the internet, you know, he's saying the same thing over and over and over again. And one of the things he said was, you know, people always ask, like, why don't you say anything different? Because the message is the same. The truth remains the truth. It never changes. But we as a society, especially us that are Israelites, we have a tendency to want to look in other places, look to other gods, look to other governments, to see if there's a better way, to see if there's a better God out there. We always want to exchange the truth for a lie, like it says in Romans. Because maybe we can take a shortcut to whatever. I don't know why we do what we do. But we do. And we as men, we are, especially Christian men, we are the church. We are the bride of Christ. And the fact that we disobey his word, his commandment, makes us feminist men. Because we do not obey our God. Now, if you're an Israelite, you don't have a choice in the matter. You're born into it. Just like sometimes I feel like, as many of you know, I'm a tree guy. I was born into it. I don't particularly like to do tree work, but I'm good at it. I'm fast at it. I execute the job quickly. It's what I do. Honestly, secretively, I literally think every day that I have for 20 years, 25 years, I've thought how much cooler it would be if I lived in the Rockies. I started going out in the Rockies when I was in my early 20s. Just like that John Denver song. He was born in his 27th year. You look out there and you look at him. But I was born where I was born, and I was born into the trade that I was into, and I'm good at it, and now I'm committed, and the years have gone by, and I'm just kind of stuck with it. So if you're an Israelite, you're just stuck with it, because God promised your great down the line grandfather, Abraham. And you ain't got a choice in the matter. And yes, I understand through the divorce and you're not joined back to him unless you're water baptized. I understand that. But the message doesn't change. And that's why it's just a big repeat. You know, I've been with you guys for 3 years now, almost 3 years. And I got to think, I'm kind of running out of ideas. Well, maybe we'll just start over because the message doesn't change. And maybe we need to, because since in the 3 years that have come, has things gotten better or have they gotten worse in society? I would say worse. I would say the moral standard has gone down a few notches. So as the Bible always says, the sons of Israel did not listen to the Lord their God. You know, and I'm just as guilty. There's nothing special about me as all of you out there. And, you know, honestly, really, you know, and like you sit there and you look at these Judeo-Christian churches and they're expecting some big rapture. You know, God's going to get them out of this stuff and, you know, they don't have Jesus defined properly. And because of that, they're incapable of obeying him, the real one. But I know it's possible that obedience can come back, because I know the Old Testament. I know the book of Judges. Then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then he turned them over to, you know, whoever. And then they repented. And then God took them back. Then they turned around and they did it again. So these churches need to adjust what they're preaching, because that's the foundation of which we, that's the foundation of our country, as we went through last week. So, we're going to read in Hosea. We're going to start out in chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hosea chapter 4. And we're just going to reaffirm the position that God, how he views us as a country with all of our, with all of the things that we've done in the last 100 years, you know, changing Jesus's identity from a law identity to a hippie, to a snuggle fest, just love everybody. So I begin by reading. Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel. For the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land because there is no faithfulness or kindness. So God has been out of shape because of the lack of obedience. There's no faithfulness. When you're faithful, you do the things that the Lord wants you to do. You do. I do. The way it is. You're faithful, you submit, and you know, if you're faithful, you submit to the word. That's what Jesus said. If you love me, obey my commands. You submit. You take on that yoke. I continue. Because there's no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of the Lord in the land. There you go. There's no knowledge of the Lord in the land. Well, according to our definition, we have to know the word. We have to know the word. If you want to know the Lord, then you got to read the word. There's no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that the bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore, the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it is languished. So there you see, because of all this stuff going on, like, it's just a big weight on everybody. This is the word of the Lord. This is what it is. And along with every beast of the field and birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. So when you reading Romans, all of creation groans for the revealing of the sons of God. Look at here. You see it again. Everything suffers. The animals, the birds, the fish. All of it suffers. Why? Because the disobedience to the word. The disobedience to God. Yet let no one find fault, and let none offer reproof. For your people are like those who contend with a priest, so you will stumble by day, and the prophet will also stumble with you by night. So the whole bunch is involved. The whole bunch is guilty. Ain't nobody getting out of it. Ain't nobody getting out of it. And them priests are dogs that do not bark. They do not recognize. Well, I mean, if they do, then whoa. They don't understand that their words are the ones that, and people, I mean, pay them. People pay them to talk to them. People love to have their ears tickled and always want to feel good, but they don't want to recognize the fact that the position that people don't want to recognize the fact that the physician priests are the picture. That's maybe that's the best way to put it. The picture that the priests are painting in people's heads are setting up their generations to come for failure. But they all stumble. They all stumble. And I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed. destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being my priest. They won't read. I mean, it's not that difficult. I mean, this is not rocket science type stuff. This isn't brain surgeon type stuff. Can you just read? Like, I was thinking about doing long time ago before Pastor died. He did some sermons on Amalek and Amalekite. I was thinking about jumping into that a little bit. People have no idea that the Lord cannot stand Amalekites. And he wars with them to the very end. He hates them. How do I know that? Because I had a good teacher, and I've read it. Just like it says in Romans. Jacob I love, Esau I hate. Still does. He still does. He did not change his mind. I continue. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. See, everything that I've been talking about earlier before on my rant, who pays? The children. You didn't teach them. We didn't teach them. We didn't listen to our federal government and public law 97-280 and study and teach. Now they're forgotten. This right here literally parallels with last week. This ministry has been saying it for years, as long as I've been on board. I'm going to be married. I'll be married 17 years. That's how many laps I got around the sun with you guys. Well, actually, a couple more than that. But the message does not change. It does not change. And who are the ones that pay the price? The children. It says it right there. The more they multiply, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people and direct their desire toward their iniquity. So who's they? The priest? The government? Because it gives them more authority and more power over the people because of their lack of knowledge, and they forgot the law, and therefore you are selling your children into slavery. It's an ownership deal because they're serving other gods. It's an ownership deal, and people do not recognize that. Churches do not preach that, but it's true. The message does not change. The ones that, I mean, I'm paying in my generation, I'm Generation X. That's when all the hip baby killing got all super popular with all the baby boomers. 25% of my generation is wiped out. Well, there's a payment. Two, baby boomers haven't been very good stewards of the land. They haven't been very good teachers of business, finance, God's word. I mean, they're terrible at it. So my generation is even dumber than them. And the thing about it was, the baby boomers knew better. They had a lot of good teaching and a lot of good moral when they were growing up, and they threw it all out the window. Now you have my generation. They're even dumber. I mean, we all work hard. You know, then you got the millennials. I mean, oh my gosh. And where does it all come from? It comes from disregarding the law, the lack of knowledge, and it just sits there, and it's just like a big infection, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And when are we going to draw the line? How bad does it actually have to get before we turn to God? What, you know, how bad does inflation have to get? How bad does we have to have illegal immigrants? How bad? How much money do we have to ship overseas for free before people are like, okay, well, you know, we need to, you know, because the thing is, each and every one of us needs to do an assessment on their own life. Kind of like when you're riding a plane, put the airbag or the oxygen mask on yourself before you assist somebody else. Get all your ducks in a row first, then you can help somebody else. That's where it starts. So the people feed on the sin, or they feed on the sin of my people. The sin empowers government and false preachers. Gives them more authority, more ownership over our children, our grandchildren, us ourselves now, because, you know, I'm a generation into it. The boomers. It just goes boom, boom. Downhill. Downstairs. Because of the garbage teaching that's going on in this land about the will of the Lord. And it will be like, like people, like priests, I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They will eat, but not have enough. They will play the harlot, but not increase, because they have stopped giving heed to the Lord. It's all politics, man. It's all politics. Whether Pastor so-and-so says it or not, I'm like, you better get to heaven. It's all politics. Harlotry wine and new wine take away the understanding. My people consult their wooden idol and their diviners. Wand informs them, for a spirit of harlotry has led them astray. They have played the harlot, departing from their God. So, their wooden idols, paying attention to other gods. How is it any different now than what it was then? They offer sacrifice on the tops of the mountains, burn incense on the hills, under the oak, poplar, terebinth. I don't even know what that kind of tree is, never heard of it. Because their shade is pleasant, therefore their daughters play the harlot, their brides commit adultery. I will punish your daughters when they play the harlot, or your brides when they commit adultery. I see, that's a new thing around there. These women are so immoral, and they think they're so deserving that, you know, like 50% of them are going to be like in their 40s or even more with no husband, no kids. They've, you know, they got nothing. You see it going up. For the men themselves go apart with heartless. So they throw in too. And offer sacrifices with the temple prostitutes. So the people without understanding are ruined. I would say the temple prostitutes are the preachers. That's what I say. Though you, Israel, play the harlot, do not let Judah become guilty. Also, do not go to Gilgal or go up to Beth-Aven and take the oath as the Lord lives. What is he saying here? Like, you guys don't even know who I am. You don't even understand my system. You don't pay any respect to me. And you're going up there taking oath, like, in my name. It's insane. Because like it says in Proverbs, about the one who turns their ear away from the law, even their prayer is, I can't think, is an abomination to me. Does nobody any good. This makes everybody mad. Especially God. Since Israel is stubborn like a stubborn heifer, can the Lord now pasture them? Danny? No, because of all their actions, and he's forced to operate in a certain manner according to their deeds. He can't. I'm forced to Deuteronomy 28 you. I'm forced to Leviticus 26 you. All because of your actions, all because of your thought process, all because of your lack of teaching to your children, all because, I'm just, like it says in Public Law 97-280, if you want to strengthen the country, study, apply its teaching. Doesn't matter what your pastor says. Doesn't matter what I say. If you're a guest here this morning and you're just listening and somehow somebody, doesn't matter what I say. It is up. You are obligated on, in a personal level, to study the word and apply the teaching. I'm telling you what's going to happen right here, right now, and what God thinks about it. Of the disobedience in each and every one of our lives. Like a lamb in a large field, Ephraim has joined to the idols. Let him alone. Let their liquor gone. They play the harlot continuously. Their rulers dearly love shame. The wind wraps them in its wings. And they will be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Chapter 5. Hear this, O priest. Give heed, O house of Israel. Listen, O house of the king. For judgment applies to you. For you have been a snare at Mizpah. And a net spread out at Tabor. The revolters have gone deep into depravity. What he says in verse 1 of chapter 5, listen, O priest. I would not want to be a priest and have to face God and because of what they've said and what they were paid to do. It's just not worth it. I mean, literally, they sacrifice the generations to come for money. I mean, just think about it. They say the law is done away with. They don't teach the Israelite truth. They don't teach baptism. They sacrifice the prosperity and the approval of God for money. You want to talk about a bunch of self-suckers, self-centered group of individuals. Their little beady eyes. What did Pastor call them? Dirty birds. But I will chastise all of them. I know Ephraim and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you have played the harlot. Israel has defiled itself. Their deeds will not allow them to return to their God. For a spirit of harlotry is within them. Their deeds will not allow them to return to God. Their spirit is of harlotry. Just let that sink in. If there's not a time to cry out to the Lord and study and apply Public Law 97-280, like right now, I don't know when it. And they do not know the Lord. Why? Because they don't study. Not only do they not obey their government on how to strengthen the Lord, they don't study, and it's their choice. It's our choice. It's Europe's choice. It's Australia's choice. Like we read earlier, all of creation suffers and awaits the revealing of the sons of the Lord. How can they be revealed? They're a bunch of idiots. How can they be revealed because of all the knowledge that they're supposed to have that they lack? The answer is they cannot. It's that simple. Moreover, the pride of Israel testifies against him, and Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah has also stumbled with them. They will go to their flocks and herds to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. For he is withdrawn from them. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord. They have attacked him. We have attacked him. He withdraws because of disobedience. That simple. Now, I know people, like in their pro-lives, things are probably going pretty good. Could be. Maybe they are. Maybe they are. I don't know. I don't know who's listening to this. But when you look at the nation as a whole, what do you think? Is it going right in the wrong direction? How do you get it to go in the right direction? Repent. Repent. The message doesn't change. They have born illegitimate children, and now the new moon will devour them from their land. That's got to sting. Jeez. Blow the horn in Gibeah, blow the trumpet in Ramah, sound the alarm in Beth Aven. Behind you, Benjamin, Ephraim will become a desolation in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel, declare what is sure. Well, what is sure? God is going to crush them. God allows people to live off of their sin. That is what's declaring what is true. That is what is declaring what is sure. Because of the actions and the thought process of the people. What's going on between their ears is the issue. Like in Public Law 97-280, when Abraham Lincoln said that because of the Bible, we know what is right and wrong and how we conduct ourselves. I'm running out of time. Where was I here? The princes of Judah have become like those who move a boundary. On them I will pour out my like water. Ephraim is oppressed, crushed in judgment, because he was determined to follow man's command. See, it all boils back to, who is your king? Like Israel, when they gave up, God is their king, and they demanded, and they took on Saul, and David, and Solomon, and Jeroboam, and Rehoboam. And the list goes on. They wanted to follow a man's command when they already had the greatest command and the greatest system hand to them. And what was the catalyst that set them off? Because of a bunch of stinking preachers. And it made them believe that the Lord's system wouldn't work. A lot of this goes on the preachers. Because they talk good. They sound good. And it goes on the men because they don't study. Right? They listen to these preachers and they have a framework in their head that blinds them. Like, I can tell you, I grew up, I'm going to stop reading right there. I grew up in a Judeo-Christian church. There was tongue talking, hand raising, crazy miracles. I've seen it all. I saw it all. I witnessed all that. I mean, all the guys on TCC television, like my dad was a deacon there. And when those guys would come in, like all those guys, like the Dwight Thompsons and the Jesse Duplantises, and I mean, that's just a couple of them that I actually met. Because my dad worked behind the scenes in the office like that, and they'd come around, I'd always hang out with them. Their teaching leads everybody astray. They're oblivious to the will of the Lord. And they sound so good. And they make you feel so good. And they lead nations into poverty. And they set up no future for the generations to come. So pay attention to Public Law 97-280. Pay attention to what God says. Because you listen, and I'm not saying specifically to the people on this ministry, because the people listen to guys like I just mentioned, the entire nation is weakened because they don't know. And someday when everything collapses, they've got people's minds so messed up on how God actually functions, what he is. It's going to have to be rough before they actually turn, I think. But we as a ministry will keep saying it over and over and over. And someday we'll turn. With that, I'm out of time. For those of you that belong to Jesus Christ, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Zach. Remnant, we hope you enjoyed that. Test out the communion elements here, the emblems, the unleavened bread that represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he gave for us on the cross of Calvary, and the cup that has fruit of the vine mixed with a little, as our pastor taught, that represents the blood that our Lord and Savior shed for us. The Bible says, the Bible that is the Word, says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no forgiveness. The Old Testament shedding of blood, the sacrifices, they were but a foreshadowing. They were but a temporary for the sacrifice that and the forgiveness that our Lord and Savior made for us. And so, as we do this, we do it reverently, not just something to do, hurry up and get it done. That's not what it's about. But it's about us remembering that our God left his heavenly abode and came down from heaven to walk this earth, to experience and to save us. And he did so on the cross. And he did so when he came out of that grave. And we read in Romans that when we join with him symbolically in his death, we with him in the glory of his resurrection. And we judge ourselves. Don't judge me. That's not your job, and it's not my job to judge you. Not when it comes to this. But we judge ourselves. We see where we've fallen for forgiveness, and then we get back up again and keep on. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made. We remember that. We take this time to remember the pain and the suffering to prove your love, the greatest love that there's ever been, your love for us. And we thank you for that. Lord, we claim all the blessings that come with partaking of this, of abiding in you and you abiding in us. Strengthen us as we do. Let this strengthen and encourage us, Lord, in this week to come, to represent you properly, to honor you in all we think, say, and do. Thank you again. We do this to your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, we partake. Amen.